Well, we've got some more amazing hours for you here on Coast to Coast. We're going to be talking with G.L. Davies, Gavin Davies. He's got an incredible book called Harvest, The True Story of Alien Abduction. He was back with me about a year ago. And also, we talked about a most haunted house. We'll get into that, too. And then, of course, we'll take your phone calls a little bit later on tonight on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. Our special guest is back with us, G.L. Davies, an author and created the ParanormalChronicles.com website back in 2013. He was born in 1975 and lives in West Wales. He has studied hauntings in the 19th century literature. He's also the host of the Paranormal Chronicles podcast. Davies is passionate, has always been, for the paranormal, and has spent years listening to and collecting local ghost stories and myths. His latest work is called Harvest, The True Story of Alien Abduction. We're going to be talking about this in his other book called A Most Haunted House, which was a great seller. GL, welcome back. Good to have you.
George, thank you so much, sir. This is truly a humbling experience to be back on your amazing show, and please, may I take the time to not only thank you and your team and your amazing listeners, but I just hope everybody listening out there today, you're keeping safe. And my love goes out to all of you and your families. Thank you so much for this wonderful opportunity. Thank you.
Thank you, Gavin. And how are things out there in West Wales? On lockdown because of COVID?
Yeah, we went back into a period of a two-week lockdown here in Wales, but the UK is following suit, and they're going into a period of a four-week lockdown in some attempt to save Christmas. It's just very strange, George. Never expected to see this in our lifetime. And I live in a very, very small town of Haverford West, so it's not really a huge amount of change for us here. You know, just things like you can only go to the supermarkets, you can only buy essentials, more people are living at home. Working at home, rather. So, yeah, it's just a very, very strange time of our lives, and I just hope everybody is coping and getting through this very, very strange and challenging times of our lives.
I hope so, too, and you're right. I never thought we'd go through something like this either. I figured we'd get hit by an asteroid before something like a pandemic would hit us, you know?
Where's the zombies, George?
Yeah.
I thought there'd be zombies everywhere before this.
I thought so, too. GL, when you were last with me a year ago, we had such incredible response, both on the program and then afterwards. My email box was flooded, so I'm glad we have you back with this latest work. Let's talk this half hour about Harvest, The True Story of an Alien Abduction. Let's talk about this kind of extraterrestrial activity. How much was this UFO flap going on in those times, the 70s and early 80s?
Yes, it Pembrokeshire, West Wales, is a very isolated, large geographic area with a very small population. If anybody wants to know what Pembrokeshire looks like, it's very, very beautiful. And if you go onto my Instagram, The Paranormal Chronicles, there's lots of pictures of the coast and the towns, just giving people a sense, a flavour of where I live. So it's very isolated. And then back in 1976, a few UFO reports started to emerge. But it wasn't until 1977 that the news station started to really take notice that there was something very, very strange happening. And probably a lot of your listeners who were very much into the ufology would have heard about this account of Broadhaven School. Now, Broadhaven School is a very small school in a small coastal town in Pembrokeshire. And on February the 4th, 1977, 16 children aged between 9 and 11 claimed to have seen a silver shaped object with a dome on top, and it looked like this object was trying to clear a tree. It was like it was stuck or it was tethered to it. It just couldn't get that height to clear it. But the children were clearly very excited by this. So the headmaster, Ralph Llewellyn, got all the children into exam conditions and asked them to write and draw what they'd seen. And the similarities were remarkable. There's the odd flourish and embellishment here and there, but the core elements of the silver-shaped body and the dome on top were there. So the headmaster kind of dismissed it, saying that is possibly just something they'd misidentified, like a sewerage truck, because it was a sewerage works not far away. So one of the teachers, an admin, she'd seen the same object, and it didn't sit right with her. So she went to the sewerage plant and said, hey, were your guys in a field nearby in your equipment or your truck? And they were like, no, there's no way we could have got there. So that made national and international news. And then before you knew it, Pembrokeshire was the UFO hotspot capital of the world, a sleepy, quiet And I go into detail in quite a bit of some of the events in Harvest, Jussieu, Alien Abduction. But, you know, without sounding like blasé about it, but everyone and their mother literally saw UFOs. People were going out, school kids were going to school seeing UFOs. Mums were walking their dogs seeing UFOs. People were seeing all kinds of things. And one family in particular, the Coombs family, they claimed that first, one of the first events was the mother was driving the children home, and a red ball of light followed the car, and the car, this engine cut out, she had the freewheel to the house, this ball followed them to the house, and things like the TV and the radio were blue. Then the same family had a 7-foot spaceman, glowing spaceman, come to the window of their house one Saturday night, and the police at the time, one of the police officers said that he had investigated rapes and murders, but he'd never seen a family so terrified. The encounter is so strange that the father, he set the dog out. He put the dog outside to see this thing off. And the dog was so terrified, it had to be put down, it had to be put to sleep. And then there was just more strangeness, very high strangeness. A herd of cattle was teleported five miles within a few seconds.
Jeez.
Disembodied hand was seen floating around the house, and it marked one of the girls. So that kind of like led... I started looking into that after the investigations I'd made on for my previous books, like Haunted Horror of Haverford West, which we've spoken about before, and Ghost Sex the Violation, which was my study into spectrophilia, and one woman who claimed she'd had paranormal sexual abuse from a spirit and a demon. I kind of wanted something not lighter, but just something different, away from those very dark, very depressing, very oppressive paranormal encounters. So I thought I'd study my UFO past and what had happened right here in Pembrokeshire. But now it's like this lady emerged, and she had an account that was very contemporary, very real, very much in the present, and was absolutely terrifying, which kind of linked what had happened in the past to that maybe those encounters had never gone away, but it was still happening.
How would you weigh GL Susan's reliability?
Whenever you take on a case, my advice to most investigators is that it's about the subject. You really need to get to know the subject. So there's a feeling out process, okay? So when I was doing the research for, say, Ghost Sex, the Violation, for example, the lady I spoke to, she's very down to earth. There was no demands. She didn't want, you know, she wasn't the one talking to you, George. She wasn't the one sat on a couch on daytime TV. She wasn't the one trying to exploit it for money. It was a down-to-earth woman who just wanted, some catharsisism, and to just get off the chest, just to make some sense. And when I met Susan, it was the exact same principle. She'd read Ghost Sex of Violation. She'd read Haunted Horror of Halford West. And she felt that I handled the subject very objectively. I'm non-judgmental.
And very tasteful,
yeah. Yeah, very tasteful as well. Like, I'm not going to tell you or your audience or my readers this is fact or this is a lie. I'm going to give you all the information that I can get. I'm going to really cross-examine and scrutinize the details of the case, do my own research, look at the psychological aspects, put it all into one volume, and then let you, the reader, decide for yourself. You are an investigator. So when you read Harvest, True Story of Alien Abduction, I invite your audience to join me on the investigation, read the book, it's very detailed, and then come up with your own assumptions, make your own judgments, and then you can contact me then at harvestalienabduction@gmail.com and let me know what your thoughts are, your interpretations, because the more of us that look into this, the more sense we can make, the more we can help others, the more we can go to our governments and say, hey, we're ready for answers, we need to know. But Susan was a very intelligent woman, incredibly articulate, very intelligent woman. And one of the things that really struck me, and it does with anybody who comes forward, is their reluctance. It's almost like they're coming out the paranormal closet. They're afraid. They're frightened. They don't want to be judged. It's a very anxiety-creating moment for them. That, am I going to be called a crank?
Right.
Or a tinfoil hat conspiracy? Is there going to be jokes about anal probes and little green men? And I kind of reassured her, and I showed her my process, that there's a disclosure, you remain anonymous. The book will not be published until you've signed off on it. And so we had that agreement. And at no stage, like, I was concerned that this was maybe a fantasy or a delusion based on just how intelligent she was. But over time, after 6 years of on and off investigation, research, interviews, it got to the stage. But when I present Harvest, the True Surveillance Abduction, I felt there is something to this. I really believe whether it's psychological or real. And then, during the production of Harvest, the true story of alien abduction, we get the New York Times news article that spread across the world that, do you know what, for years researchers claimed the United States government was running a top secret program and research into UFO phenomenon. And then time and time again, the authorities denied everything, telling the media and the public there was no official interest in the subject. And then in December 2017, the conspiracy theories all came true. There had been an actual UFO project, and these objects had been tracked and filmed and chased by the best aircraft and the best pilots in the world, are outmatched and outmaneuvered by these objects. So suddenly, something where is maybe became, but my Lord, there is a very strong possibility now that there are objects coming into our airspace. And if there are unidentified aerial phenomena, as they're called, or UFOs when I was growing up, then why are they here and what do they want? And that kind of added just a little level, just a little bit more weight to Susan's story of what if this is true? And as I said, I encourage everyone to read Harvest, True Story of Alien Abduction, and join me on my investigation. I want you to read it and make up your own mind and interpretations on what is happening, and then get in touch with me, and then I can broaden my research into the subject as well.
Good. When you qualified Susan as a witness subject, GL, what did you do to convince yourself something happened to this person?
Again, it went back to the reluctance. At that stage, for a very, very long time, it's just this feeling out process. You're there sat with it, and you're kind of looking for micro-expressions, contradictions in the story. Is she trying to push me away from one particular area into another? But she didn't do any of that. It was really exciting. I get dozens and dozens of people probably every month contacting me about, I've got this great story, I've got this great case, it'd make a great Netflix film, it'd make this. But I'm very particular on who I speak to. It takes a very, very long time for me to feel comfortable with this. A, is there a story? And B, how much of it is based in very real-world terms? My books are very kitchen sink in terms of, it's about how it affects your life, how it affects you psychologically. I want to know what you're eating on a day. I want to know what your dreams are. I want to know what your activities were that day so I can kind of get a sense of what was going on. What I really kind of was drawn to Susan was, Susan, her family had no interest in the paranormal. They weren't even particularly religious.
Mm-hmm.
She had a career map drawn out for her. All she had to do was complete a study. She was a young woman when these events happened in 2009. She was going to go into a very, very high-paid, well-renowned profession and follow in the family's footsteps. She was on the roadmap to success, and, you know, without making like a judgment, but she was born with a silver spoon and a silver platter. She had it all, and all she had to do was complete a certain stage, and she would be one of those people that would have the nice house, the nice car, the nice husband, the nice kids, the holidays, nice things. She would have been a professional. And this totally derailed her. This was not on her radar. This was not something she was interested or wished to attract. This was something that was absolutely terrifying to her. And for her, the reason she came forward so that we could detail her account in Harvest, the true story of alien abduction, was A, catharsisism, and B, it's a warning. It's a warning to every man, woman, and child on the planet that there is a very strong possibility that there are beings, whether you want to call them alien, dimensional, the beings that are coming into our world and on the spectrum of alien contact, from the very spiritual enhancement and the positive, there is actually a very negative side to that when we're talking experimentation, hybridization, and ultimately harvesting, as what Susan claimed she saw. And another thing I found very interesting was that Susan could recall moments very clear and not under regression. So I thought, this is really interesting. This woman, we can go into like the interpretations with dreams and visions and prophecies, but we've also got what she believes is real, actual events. But there was no mask, where it was as it happened. And it was one of the most terrifying things I'd ever heard. And it made me think that if this can happen to Susan, we know people go missing. Like, for example, right? No, not everybody's abducted, right? But on average, 625,000 people go missing here in the United States, right? Of course.
And they're gone. They're just gone.
They're gone. Yeah, and like some of them, they're picked up by a cult, they're trafficked, they die, they're suicide, they're murdered, they just drop off the grid, right? So 625,000 people a year go missing in the United States. And something like a very small number of those, it's like 1.4%, something like that, right, are unsolved mysteries. So you're talking about 6,000-odd people here, right? And even if you break that number down again to say 1 or 2%, 60 to 100 people just vanish for no reason. 1 minute they're there and they're gone. And in the United Kingdom, you know, every 90 seconds somebody goes missing in the United Kingdom,
my
Ireland.
God.
In Australia, 30,000 people a year go missing, right? And of course, 99.5% of those are reasonable explanations, right? But where do these other people go? And then you get the most important, the biggest, most powerful government in the world, the United States. They've got the best aircraft, the best pilot, the best military. You know, you are the strongest military nation on the planet. Filming these objects, chasing these objects, struggling to keep up with them. And the pilots are just amazed. They're like, you know, we've all seen these videos. And then you've got to think then, if people are going missing, people are claiming they've had alien abduction for decades. Our mythology is rooted in alien abduction. I was interviewed very recently by a great author. You've had him on your show, George. His name's Paul Anthony Wallace, the
yes.
author of Escaping from Eden.
Yeah.
He just interviewed me for Fifth Kind TV. And Paul Wallace, in Escaping from Eden, he said that in our histories, in our mythologies, in our religions, it all goes back to beings coming down and taking us, just picking us up. So I think deep down inherently, we all know that there are beings coming and they are abducting us. And it's just a case now of, do we need to be told the truth? How will we cope? Because when we were told the news on December the 17th, there's no riots, the world's been split in two. We were then told again on June the 22nd, of this year, at the Pentagon, we're looking into the aerial phenomenon.
Mm-hmm.
But that was happening during the protests and the riots and the height of the pandemic. So I think that news story kind of slipped through. But alien abduction, it's part of our life. You know, whether you believe it or not, if you're sat at home thinking, I don't really believe in alien abduction, that's absolutely fine. Harvest the truth of alien abduction. We're looking for the psychological rationale as well. But I think deep down we know. We really know that we have been taken by alien beings, or dimensional beings.
These aliens and ETs gave a very vivid scene possibility of apocalyptic destruction to Susan. How bad is that? Is it biblical?
It was very gruesome, very difficult. As fans of my work know, I wear my mental health on my sleeve. I'm bipolar. I suffered a mini stroke. And one of the reasons people enjoy my work so much is that because I can really convey that feeling of dread,
sure.
fear, anxiety, loneliness, depression, whatever it is. And Susan had these very strange encounters where they're almost like they were doing some kind of psychological test on her. She had three nights with three very similar experiences where she was like in some kind of dream state. And one of the nights she was asked lots of questions by her younger self, just like psychological examination, like questions like, if your house is on fire, would you save your mother or father first? If you were sexually assaulted, would you enjoy it? Very strange questions, which Susan found was very harrowing in its own right. But then on the third night, they showed her Pembrokeshire, West Wales. And as I said, if you go on Instagram, the Paranormal Chronicles, there's loads of photographs of the area and the places we're describing. And it was the estuary, which is the second largest natural harbour in Europe. It's got full of refineries and oil tankers. It's a very industrious place. And it was on fire. The water's on fire. The boats are rolling in the flames. People are on fire.
Jeez.
There's ash raining from the sky. The sea was bubbling and boiling. Children on fire, people on fire. And she was like being shown this, like almost like a remote viewer. She's
hold on for a second, GL. We're going to hit a break. We'll come back and pick this up right here. We're talking with GL Davies about his book, Harvest, The True Story of Alien Abduction. Next hour, we'll take your phone calls with GL Davies, Harvest, The True Story of Alien Abduction. Time permitting, we'll also talk about his earlier book, A Most Haunted House. That's an incredible story as well, but we're going to get into the apocalyptic things that the ETs told their subject when we come back in a moment. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, back with G.L. Davies as we're talking about his latest work, Harvest, The True Story of Alien Abduction. And G.L., we were talking about the fire and brimstone that these ETs were painting this picture to Susan for. That's not a very pleasant thing. Do we know how it happens?
No, this is the very strange thing, okay, because subsequently, after doing the research at Harvest, The True Story of Alien Abduction, you start speaking to so many different people have had the whole spectrum of alien contact experiences, okay, from the, you know, the spiritually significant and enhancing and the positive, and they've had these really great experiences, all the way to, you know, the harvesting and the total annihilation of individuals. And but there seems to be one very common thing on either side of that spectrum, and it's this vision of apocalypse, okay? So what concerns me and Susan was, with this event that we saw in Pembrokeshire, that she saw in this vision, mm-hmm. was it isolated to Pembrokeshire? Is it like the refineries? You know, we've got these, you know, all the major oil companies have been on this estuary. We've got LNG gas, and if anybody knows anything about LNG gas, it's one of the most powerful substances on the planet, especially when it explodes. So we didn't know if this was isolated to Pembrokeshire, or if this is the end of the world. This is like a global catastrophe.
Right.
But so many abductee cases have had, even when they're positive, have been shown these apocalyptic visions, right? So speculating now, and as I said, I invite everyone to read Harvest, The True Story of Alien Abduction, and please contact me with your interpretation of what you think is happening, okay? It's really important. We work together on this. All of us work together to make sense of this, right? And maybe we can go to the right people and get some support and help on this, right? But are these beings showing us the end of the world vision to say, if you don't wise up, if you don't change your ways, this is your future, right? Or are they showing it to us to say, we will harvest you, we will hybridize you, we'll experiment on you because this is your future. So everything is futile. Everything you worry about, all your fear and anxiety means nothing because this is what's going to happen to your planet. And this is just pure speculation, right, based on research and other people I've spoken to. And Paul Wallace, again, the author of Escaping from Eden, he believes that there is a cabal in place where there are multiple alien or dimensional beings that all have an interest in the planet Earth, okay, and humanity as a whole. And some of them see us as beings that are prime, a spiritual upgrade, that if we can unshackle ourselves from our old ways, that we can enhance ourselves and evolve into new spiritual beings that will be the cosmic seed that will spread across the galaxy because we're a very hardy being. We're very, you know, we work hard. We're very, you know, we have the ability to be resourceful. And then the other side of that coin is that we are, I know this is going to be very challenging to people, and please realize this is not my view on humanity, this is just a view and something some of these abductees believe, is that we are no different than animals. We are, to these beings, these sophisticated, advanced beings, we are no different from the animals in the field, or lab rats, or monkeys, whatever, we're just animals. And we don't necessarily worry, maybe vegans and vegetarians do, but we don't worry. I certainly haven't. I'm worried how my steak got on my plate, or where my chicken came from, or anything like that.
Yeah.
Just take it for granted it's there. And if these beings view us in that way, then we are animals to them. And whether they're harvesting as a food source or whatever, I don't know. But you've got to think, right, of how we treat animals. And Susan makes it perfectly clear in Harvest, The True Story of Alien Abduction, that this isn't some pious message of activism and environmentalism and animal safety and welfare. Not at all. She never thought about those things at all. It just put into context how they treated her and what she's witnessed, how they treat other people. It's very similar to how we treat animals, right? And if you think about it, not in the West, but in some Asian countries, they will kill, say, like a dolphin or a shark for an aphrodisiac. So some person in China can get their rocks mm-hmm. off for Valentine's because they've got shark's genitals powdered up on a plate. So if we will do that to the animals on this world, what will an ancient, sophisticated, alien, advanced race see us? And are we no different from the animals that we harvest? And that was something that was very worrying to Susan, and one of the possibilities why abductees have these visions of apocalypse, because ultimately it's all futile. But I like this idea that there is a cabal, as Paul Wallace presented in Escaping from Eden. I do like this idea that there is a cabal of aliens, and some of them are actually, because a lot of people out there, I know a lot of people listening, have had a positive alien encounter. And maybe there are aliens or dimensional beings wanting us to get out of our rut, to evolve, and be better beings. And they are working for us against the people, the beings that think we are just nothing but animals.
Did they abduct Susan to the time of taking her away for days, or was this just a momentary thing?
She believed she'd been taken many times, but the first couple of times were very much like dream states, where she wasn't sure what was happening. But the main time, she was driving and she saw a fox on the road. And the fox always seemed to be very symbolic of women, of abductees. And she kind of like, the car came to a halt, and then she came to, and she'd always have the same experience where she'd be naked and she'd come out some woodlands across the stream. It'd be night. And everything would be bathed in red. There was no obvious light source, but everything would be bathed in red. And she had this inherent fear that there was an owl in the woods that would be chasing her. And if anyone who's familiar with ufology knows that the owl is a very common symbol, very common image in alien abduction, people claiming that the owl image is masking the true face of these beings. So Susan was walking across the stream. She came to some long grass, and the fox, it was a fox here that led into the long grass. And I'm really interested for people's interpretations and what all of this means. Someone out there right now listening to this saying, I know exactly what that means. So, you know, read Harvest, The True Story of Alien Abduction, and then contact me at harvestalienabduction@gmail.com. So Susan, she's naked, walking through this long grass under this red light. And she would come across other women. She claimed there was an African lady, there was a young child, there was an old lady, there was a German lady, there was a woman with dementia. And before she knew it, there would be dozens going into scores, going into hundreds of women just walking naked through this long grass, almost like a herd. You see it, you know, you're driving past, you see a herd of cows all just walking in one direction. And then she said towards the end of this, it would be like some kind of vacuum pulling people up. Now, where she believes she ended up, I can't tell people it's an alien spacecraft, a base, I don't know. And I'm not going to just say, make something up just to, you know, satisfy curious minds. We don't know. But it was some kind of cavernous vessel, cavernous space. It was alien. And Susan found herself with lots and lots of women herded into, like, different lines, different tunnels. There was red lights flying about. One woman, she claims, collapsed. There's still naked collapse, and this red light came, and this impossibly thin line came out of this object and just flew off with this woman, attached to this woman and flew off. Very terrifying. Susan said her group were led down a very small tunnel, very claustrophobic. She said, like, you know, people were soiling themselves, going to the loo, it was sweaty, it was claustrophobic, and that the floor and the walls had this kind of organic texture. She described it almost like a minced meat. And she went into a larger place, and things were coming out of the walls, like pipes, tubes, taking samples from, you know, I don't want to be too graphic, but from all her orifices, taking skin samples, needles, probing. And then they were kind of ushered on. And below her, she claimed she saw an area, like a holding area, where there was dozens of pregnant women, all different nationalities. Some of them were cowering against the wall. Some were giving birth on the floor. And as soon as the child was born, these red lights, Susan just nicknamed them the shepherds, because these red lights always appeared before an abduction. And the red ball of light, like flaming glass, such a common trope of UFO lore and mythology. So many people see these red lights. But Susan claimed that these women were giving birth, and these red lights would swoop down. They would take the baby without removing surgically in a proper fashion, the umbilical cord. And this is very strange, because there seemed to be a number of alien beings, but one of them appeared to be this very large, bulbous, bioluminescent kind of creature. It was very difficult for Susan to describe. She said it was almost like a jellyfish on impossibly thin legs. And these things were coming and falling on top of the women who'd just given birth, the exhausted women. And she has no idea what they were doing. Were they reviving? Were they planting? Were they eating? She has no idea. And then in another area, there seemed to be an area of very older women that had, like, disabilities, women who looked really ill. And they were in like this area where this device was literally just grabbing women and then just sucking their essence out. There'd be nothing left of them. They were being harvested entirely.
Jeez.
So Susan, from that experience, believes that some people, particularly women in this case, the harvest begins small, where it's just small samples, and then it goes up and up and up. And there's obviously some kind of hybridization. And then finally, for some of the people who maybe had nothing yet left to offer, they were just extinguished. They were just harvested. They were basically, their insides were sucked out, followed by this.
Wow, so they would kill them.
Yeah, so when we talk about these missing people, you know, people say, well, surely if all these women are on a spaceship going missing, or when I say spaceship, it could be underwater, it could be a different dimension, it could be on the back of the moon, it's up to you. You decide, you know, whatever you think is right. You know, I don't know the answers to that, okay? So when you think about it, George, if I came to your house and I went in your wallet and I took all your money and your credit cards, the next morning you're going to think somebody's robbed me, you're going to call the police, okay?
Yep.
But if I came into your house and I just took a dollar every day, you probably wouldn't notice.
You wouldn't notice.
So if you think, right, there's 200 countries in the world, okay? And say you took two from America, two from Canada, two from Britain, and so on, okay? That is on average 400 women a night. What's that, 2,000, 2,500 people a week? What's that, 200, 250,000 people a year? You know, and then we're talking over centuries, decades, that could be millions. And nobody's going to know. Nobody's going to notice if some old lady's gone missing or some woman's just vanished off the face of the earth, whether it's a backpacker or you know, someone who's dependent on drugs or whatever. These beings, they just come in here, they're taking us, and they're taking us back. And we've got to start to think, do our governments know? And I believe they do know. And the reason that they've kept it quiet is because they probably can't do anything about it. You know, do you want to be the government that tells a nation of people, yep, people are being, people you expect to come home, missing people you expect to come home, they're not coming home, people, because they're gone. They no longer exist. And guess what? We can't do anything about it. But they're not going to tell us that. You know, like, to put it into context, right, if North Korean, Chinese, and Russian aircraft were flying into North American airspace, right, unchallenged, there'd be an outcry from the American people, right? And rightly so.
Absolutely.
Now, if those same nations were coming to America and taking your women from your community, your wives, your daughters, your mums, your people from your community, and you found out they were experimenting on them, abducting them, putting them in some kind of hybridization program, torturing them, harvesting them, America would go to war.
There'd be a war.
Guaranteed.
Yeah. No doubt. I agree.
It wouldn't last very long. It'd be over very, very quickly because America would put all its might together and it would end it. So that means to me that if your government, the most powerful nation on the planet, is said to us that there are UFOs that we don't know where they're from and our pilots are struggling to keep up with them, they're being outmaneuvered, there is a real threat. And even Gorbachev, Mikhail Gorbachev, leader of the second most powerful nation at the time, he said the phenomenon of UFOs are real and it must be treated seriously. Reagan was obsessed with the Star Wars project.
Yep.
And at the Reykjavik Accord in 1985, Reagan and Gorbachev actually sat down and said, if there was a threat, not of this world, but the USSR and the USA would work together, they'd put aside the differences long enough to fix that and then go back to business. So our governments know, in countries like Belgium, Japan, Russia, they acknowledge the fact that there are alien beings coming to this world. And now the Americans have, after 70 years of saying there is nothing, have now said there is, makes me think that maybe with the, you know, the Space Force, you know, the American Space Force, maybe the Americans have started to work towards the technology to protect us. But they are starting to tool up, so to speak, because we should not have this happening to us. People like Susan in Harvest, The True Story of Alien Abduction, anybody out there who's been experimented on or believes they've been part of a hybridization without any prior consent, anybody out there, this should not be happening to us. You know, we are not animals. We are spiritual beings, and we have the right to be defended and be told the truth. And that is one of the reasons why Harvest, The True Story of Alien Abduction, is so important to me, because I want to make it, I want people to talk about alien abduction, about the paranormal, without fear of judgment, without fear of being labeled. Let's make these subjects part of the normal conversation. We don't know everything about the universe. We don't know everything about time. We don't know everything about psychology. So let's not be fearful. Let's not judge those and make fun of people who claim to have had alien abduction. Let's talk about it. Let's understand what's happening, and then let's talk to our governments and say, what is happening? Who are these beings? What do they want? And is there any truth into the alien abduction phenomenon? And if it is, what are you going to do about it? And if they say there's nothing we can do about it, then we need to say, well, we need someone in power who can.
Well, there's a great book by one of your countrymen called A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens that he wrote in the 1800s. Yeah. And it was turned into a movie. And in the movie, Scrooge is looking through the window at Tiny Tim and his family, and he's saying, are these things that will be or could be? And that, I guess, is one of the questions Susan might have had. Are they things that will be or could be that she saw?
Yeah, I think with the more positive alien experiences, I think these beings are giving us a hint of what's happening and giving us the opportunity to change. Whether we will or not is not really something we can really understand. But we are on the brink, whether you believe in climate change or not. But when you think about all the plastic in the Pacific Ocean, the melting ice caps, the rate we're cutting down rainforests, the rate our animals are being extinguished off the planet, you know, within 50 years, our world's going to be very, very different, you know. And it's going to be very difficult. There's going to be a lot more of us with a lot less. And, you know, hopefully we are, you know, interstellar travelers. You know, maybe we can go off-world. But until that time, we're kind of stuck on this planet.
Absolutely. GL, we're at the top of the hour break. Let's come right back, and we'll wrap up The Harvest, the true story of alien abductions. Then I want to talk with you for a little bit about A Most Haunted House, that incredible story. And then we'll take phone calls with you on Coast to Coast AM.